Good morning. We have been talking about truth this month, and this is my last opportunity to talk about truth. And I wanted to share with you just some truth from God's Word this morning. Very simple, very straightforward, but we have to accept the truth. Last week, I tried to help you think a little bit about truth as it is being taught in our culture. And it's hard. It's hard to get over what culture is trying to do with the concept of truth. You see, truth is so fluid in our culture. Our culture does not accept absolute truth. And you see, you and I are affected by that. And seeing that happen in so many ways in our lives, I have very strong feelings and very strong opinions about a lot of things. And so a lot of things are true to me that are not true to you. I like certain foods you may not like. Truth to me is I like that. Truth to you is I'm dumb. And I need to grow up and think like you do. That's the way we are in our culture. And that kind of thinking drifts over into much, much more serious matters. I've been reading a little bit about truth, trying to think more about truth. And I'm hoping what I'm about to read to you is not offensive to any of you, but just shares with you where our culture is and where the thinking of our people would be in this country of ours. I'm reading from an article entitled Omnisexual, Genosexual, Demisexual, What's Behind the Surge in Sexual Identities? And it begins by saying in 1976, the French philosopher Michel Foucault made the meticulously researched case that sexuality is a social construct used as a form of control. In the 40 years since, society has been constructing sexualities. The trend reflects an impulse to cut the legs out from under religious invectives against non-heteronormative sexualities. In other words, if you're born a certain way, it's impossible for your sexuality to be sinful because it's natural, made of biological desires rather than a conscious choice. And then as we take a look at the conclusion of this article, it says, according to the gentleman that I quoted initially in his work, The History of Sexuality, he says, we demand that sex speak the truth. Are you listening? We demand that sex speak the truth. If you look at our norms in America in the last 50 years, so many of the norms that we have changed has to do with sexuality and the language of sexuality. And as we come to it, you young folks are in the middle of a cultural shift. If you look at things and if you have any interest in it and you read in the 10 years, the last 10 years of your lives, there has been, my life as well, but there's been a major focus and shift. And a part of it is about the truth. And what you need to understand is what is truth. A great question that Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? We demand that sex speak the truth. We demand that it tell us our truth. Please listen. We demand that sex tell us our truth. Or rather, the deeply buried truth of that truth about ourselves, which we possess in our immediate consciousness. We still believe sex reveals an inner truth. Now, however, we are more readily able to recognize the process of discovering and identifying that truth is always ongoing. Are you getting it? We don't have truth. If this article is correct, we don't have truth. It's ongoing, and we have to find it, and we have to seek it. in a way that our inward person speaks to us and tells us the truth. I just want to share with you some very simple, in one sense, Bible passages that are true. I was just looking at our closing song, Paradise Valley. As I travel through life with its trouble and strife, there's a glorious hope that gives cheer on our way. Soon my toils will be o'er, and I'll rest on that shore where night has been turned into day. Believe that? You believe the trouble part, don't you? You believe the strife part, don't you? But do you believe that there is a hope that gives cheer on the way? Do you really believe that soon your toils will be over and you're going to rest on that shore where night has been turned into day? I just want to share with you some truth about life this morning from the one who is truth, from the one who can express nothing but the truth, the one who is so powerful in truth that he could only swear by himself because there is none greater to swear by. Just as a beginner, look at Psalm 27 and verse 5. Or he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me upon a high rock. You believe in that? Boy Lee, thank you for hiding me away. I've said it before, and I want to just share with you again a story about Beverly Bradford. Beverly Bradford was a happy girl. Loved her. Such a sweet person. She went to the doctor one day. Didn't know what was going on. She discovered what was going on. It was not an easy thing. I will never forget when I was helping run Mid-South Youth Camp. Frank and Beverly were helping. Beverly came out one afternoon and we were discussing the difficulties that she had found out she was facing. We didn't know about it. We didn't know some things that were going to be that have become. And so Beverly came and we discussed that. And I said, why don't we get the counselors together and just sing a little bit and let's pray together about this. And we did. And so we sang, Hide Me Away, O Lord. Remember the words to that song? Lord, have me. In the day of trouble, neath the shadow of your wing, hide me away, O Lord. Hide me away. She needed that song that day. She needed the prayers that day. And following that day, we sung that song a lot with her. And she told me that at night, she would awake, she would awaken, she would be afraid, and she would sing that song to herself over and over again. Hide me away. As I travel through life with its trouble and strife, there's a glorious hope that gives cheer on the way. She realized soon her troubles would be over. We talked about it a lot. He will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Well, that's the truth that every one of us needs, because trouble comes to us almost daily as we think about what life is about. And then this great passage in James 4 ought to help us more than it does, because you see, even though I have grown a little older, a lot older for some of you, I still don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. I still expect and have plans, and I've made plans for this week and expect fully as I stand right in front of you to carry those things out, but I better be listening to what this passage says. I believe if we had Neil Smith here, he could tell you a little bit more about the depth that we need to listen to this passage. Taking a walk on the track, 8 out of 11 laps. He walked 11 laps. He got 8 of them in. He fully expected to get those last 3 in, but he didn't. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It's really hard for you in this area over here to think seriously about that passage, but it's real with you. You do not know what will be on tomorrow. Your life, just like mine, is a vapor that appears for a moment and then it vanishes away. The truth about life, God clearly tells us life is uncertain. If you're thinking your life is going to be a piece of cake and a dream and everything's going to work out and you are going to walk off into the sunset living happily ever after, that may happen. But it's not going to happen without some uncertainty. Come on now. You that say today or tomorrow we're going to go in such a town, spend a year there and trade and make profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Peter reminds us, but Luke reminds us, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying, given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. You see, with me, I'm going to school. I'm going to spring break. I'm going to the lake. And I just keep on filling in the blanks with what I am going to do. That's exactly the way it was when the Lord brought the flood upon the earth. That's exactly the way it will be when the Lord comes to receive His own unto Him. The truth about life is that it is uncertain. The truth about life is that trouble finds everyone. You may have it made today. Life may be going so great you can't stand it, and you could get up and turn a backflip because life is going so great. And I want to tell you, it is not about being pessimistic. It's about being realistic in listening to the truth about life. Trouble finds everyone. God says, I want to say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons, the sons of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. In this case, God is talking about physical blessings and some spiritual blessings. When we start thinking about what God offers, it is offered without prejudice. Doesn't matter who you are this morning. Doesn't matter where your spiritual life is. God is offering you great blessings in the middle of the troubles of life. And if you just look at that bottom line down there, we've been studying in our Iron Men's class on Wednesday night the book of Job, and we've discussed several times, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Well, we can see God blesses everybody, but trouble comes to everybody. And there are at least 4 places in our lives from which trouble comes. First of all, we can take a look at Job in chapter 1. God says, have you seen anyone as righteous as my servant Job? Job's got a hedge built around him, the devil says. The devil says, let me get a hold of him and I'll fix him. The Lord permitted the devil to test Job. So troubles come from the devil. If you take a look at God in number 16, here are some of God's people who are going to be disciplined mightily because God brings discipline. and punishment, troubles upon people. Look at Numbers chapter 12, and you're going to see some people that made some poor choices. Their poor choices brought stuff upon themselves that was trouble beyond their ability to imagine what it was going to be. And so we go through life and we're making choices, and there are most likely some people in this room today who are in trouble with people, in trouble with the Lord, in trouble with yourself because of choices that you have made. Our troubles come to us sometimes because we just make poor decisions and we make mistakes. And then sometimes accidents happen. Trouble comes because of what the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, as time and chance happens to everybody. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, time and chance is going to get you. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, time and chance is going to get you sometime. So we have trouble. It's going to find everybody. That's the truth of God's Word. It's the truth about life, my life and yours. Wow. The truth is God has provided a place of safety. He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. Matthew 11 is an invitation to all you who labor and are heavy laden. Got sin problem in your life this morning? The Lord is opening His arms and saying to you, come unto me. If you are burdened with sin, if it's a problem in your life, if you are dying emotionally and you're dead spiritually because of sin, the Lord says there's a place of safety. You come to me and I will give you rest. Psalm 118 verse 6 says, out of my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And then Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And then when you read chapter 46 of Psalm and the book of Psalms and the verses following verse 1, you're going to find out that there's going to be changes. The world is going to change. We're going to lose our good friends. We're going to lose our parents. We're going to have changes that are unthinkable. We're going to lose our jobs sometimes. We are going to have major changes in our lives. And though everything changes in the most horrible way that it can, the psalmist said, the truth is in our lives, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at those passages. First one is the day of trouble. Second one is labor and are heavy laden. The third one, in my distress. And the fourth one, a very present help in a time of trouble. Those are passages that describe our lives when they are not what we need them to be, what we want them to be, what we would choose for them to be. Where do we go? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort. Striving alone to face temptation's sword. Are you striving alone this morning? Trying to handle things on your own? That song raises the question, where could I go but to the Lord? There's a place of safety. That's the truth about life. Another truth about life is everybody in this room has people that we love that are not living right. They're not doing right. They're not trusting in the Lord for today. And so there's something for us to do. There's a truth. This is a truth about life that God gives us. Everybody in this room accountable before God has some behavior that you need to be undertaking already. And if you're not, you need to get up and get going. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you. Look, God is telling you a truth about life. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for the harvest. People all around us need the truth. People all around us need encouragement. People all around us need help. And we must act. A really good friend of mine, and to me a great preacher, Brother B.P. Black, in one of his sermons, he said, the call for the gospel message to be taken comes from three places. It comes from out here with us, from people. If you look at Acts 16 and verse 9, Paul saw in a vision a man from Macedonia saying, please come help us. Please come help us. We are trying to help people in numbers of places around the world today, and they are saying, please, please come help us. But when we think about the message from above, it was God Himself in the person of Jesus the Christ that says to us, go teach that gospel. Teach every nation. Tell people they need to hear the message of God. Tell people they need to repent of their sins. They need to be baptized into Christ. God is begging us to tell other people what they need to have help in that time of need. And there are some people that you could reach that I could never reach. And so every one of us has a job to do. So it comes from people out here among us. It comes from God above in heaven. But if you look at Luke chapter 16, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, there's that call that comes from beneath. Here is the rich man who sees himself. He lifted up his eyes in torment. And now he's begging Abraham to send Lazarus back to teach his brothers. The call is coming from beneath. It seems to me for sure if that story teaches us anything that we can believe about the afterlife, some people would not think it would. And that may not be the major purpose of that story, but if it teaches us anything about what is true about the afterlife, there are some people who love us, who care about us, that they would like for God to send somebody back and say, listen, this is how it is in torment. This is how it is in the greatest of blessings that anybody could receive. Please send Lazarus back so that my brothers don't come to this place. The rich man was told, if they will not listen to the preachers of the day, as the word of God is preached, they would not listen even if someone came from the dead. Very powerful truth about life is that everybody in this room accountable to God has something to do. So, what to do today? What do we conclude from God's truth for life? Do we let our inward person tell us about truth? Do we let our sexuality tell us what truth is about the way we ought to behave, the way we ought to treat people, the way we ought to interact with people, or do we listen to the message of God? One of the great passages in the entire Bible, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the principle is true today. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, I will heal their land. And then this truth from the New Testament that is just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was given. The Lord would say to you and me today, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I'll come in. what a great pastor. I will not only come in, but I will eat with them and be with me. What to do? What to do? If there's trouble in your life, that a public response could help. Our hope and our prayer is that this is not just another song. It's not just another 2 minutes out of our worship or three, whatever it takes to sing this song. But that to you, it is a real invitation from God to permit Him to hide you in the shelter of His wings. And for you to come in and be with Him. For you to come in and eat with Him and be with you. If we can help you, please don't let this opportunity pass by. Come as we stand and as we sing.
Yes, Lord Jesus, oh my brother, this life will ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Give Him all Thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave His life that Thou mightst live.